title the message this morning, Thankfulness, a key to finding hope and staying humble. I believe that being thankful is one of the greatest gifts that God has instructed us to use in order to find hope and also at the same time make sure that we're staying humble. One of the very first things that we teach our kids is to say thank you. It's, you know, not uncommon for my children to come running up to me on a Sunday morning and say, "Dad, look what I got." Whether it's like a little Matchbox car, or I guess it's not Matchbox anymore, it's like Hot Wheels. "Dad, I got a little Hot Wheels car." Or my other son's really into Star Wars, and so he'll get like a little Star Wars something. Somebody will be thinking about my boys, and they'll get him little tiny gifts, which is so kind. And my first question on a regular basis is, "Well, who gave it to you? And what did you say?" And I'm making sure that my children are, well, they're being thankful that they say thank you for all the gifts, no matter the size, from the people that love them and give them these little tiny presents. Now, I want this truth to be something that applies to God's kids all across the world. And today, all across this phone line, that you as God's kid would make sure that you're telling God thank you for all the blessings He's given to you, the many things He's brought into your life. And so the verse today is one very short, but very true. This is what God wants from you. This is what it says. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will. It's His will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Here's another version of it. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The first thing that I want to start out with is how the sentence ends. It says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. If you've ever wondered, what is God's will for my life? The Bible is full of answers, and here's one of them. Thankfulness. Thankfulness is God's will for your life. Here we're told, even reminded, that our Heavenly Father wants, desires, commands even you to be thankful. He wants gratitude to be a constant in our life and flourishing in our hearts. So not just going through the motions, but a natural way of life. God is reminding me and you, because gratefulness doesn't naturally flow from our hearts. More often than not, we have a different mindset. It's maybe I deserve this, or I've earned it. I don't deserve this, or I work too hard to not get this. And so we've got these different feelings that come about that often hold thankfulness at bay. God is reminding me and you, because we're prone to forget thankfulness, that we need to be thankful. Now, the times that we often forget to be thankful are most often the times that it's really, really good or it's really, really bad. And so our Heavenly Father is just saying, no matter the season, no matter the circumstance, I want you to have a heart of thankfulness. Now, notice what it says there. Look at it. It's very clear. It says, be thankful in all circumstances. Do you see that little word in? It's such an important word. In everything, give thanks. But I want you to notice this, that it doesn't say be thankful for everything, but rather be thankful in everything. Now, I think it's important. Here's the reason why. Because God is not asking you to be thankful for all the things in your life or all the things that have happened in your life. Because there are some things that happen in life where I think it's okay not to be thankful, where you can say, I don't like that. I'm not happy that happened. You know, it's true that God is always able to bring good from bad. And so we can look at what he's done from a bad situation and make it good. And so we can be thankful for what he's done from it or through it or in it. But there are real times that we can sit back and say, man, I didn't like that. And I don't understand why that happened. And I'm really frustrated. Lord, why did this happen? And one day we'll be able to ask God a lot of the big why questions. One day we'll look into the eyes of our Creator and we'll be able to say, Lord, why did this happen? And why did you allow this event or this circumstance, this tragedy, this devastation? Lord, why? Why? And I believe in that day, it says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that we will know as we are fully known. And all those answers will come rushing into our minds. You know, heaven is going to be a place where you know more, not less than earth, okay? So here, we kind of see dimly, where we don't see all the answers, we don't see all of the details, but in heaven one day, we will get all of those answers. We'll get all of those insights that we've missed out on here. And so in the meantime, we can look at those things that have happened and say, man, I just don't like that. And how it occurred or what changed, what happened, maybe something that was said to you, things that were done to you, a sin done against you, harm or words, events, abuse, tragedies, loss, unexpected death. You know, I'm not thankful for some of the trials that my wife and I have actually had to go through in our years. I wish they would have never happened. The Bible doesn't say be thankful for those things that have happened, but rather the word in is used in all things because the Bible's teaching me and you that despite the good or the bad in our life, no matter the circumstance, gratitude or thankfulness can still exist in your heart inside the situation that you're in. So it's thanking God at all times by seeing God working in every situation. You know, the word in here, I look back at some of my early difficulties in my marriage. You know, my wife was just always her entire life. She's always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom and a good wife. And she really is. She really is. But early on, you know, we just were excited about having a family. And so she gets pregnant and we're really excited. We're, you know, the new parents and we post a little picture online, you know how they do it. And it's, hey, we're pregnant, we're excited. And we've got our doctor's visits and everything's great. And little girl, well, man, praise God, a little girl. We've already got the name, Charlotte Grace, amazing. You know, we've got little presents and onesies and you know how moms are, they're nesting and preparing and painting. We only got a single bedroom apartment, okay? And so we don't even have a bedroom to put the baby in. All we have is just like a little living room. And so I decorate the living room. And so I'm kind of prepping around and she's in this mood. And well, one day she goes down these flight of stairs and in a turn of events, she falls. And she walks through a puddle of water and slips and hits the ground real hard. And immediately she has concern and she calls me and Jay, I think something's wrong with the baby. And we go to the hospital and sure enough, little Charlotte Grace, her heart stopped beating. And it was hard. It was hard. Really hard. Really hard. Not thankful for that moment. And what followed, you know, when you go through so much in early on in marriage, it makes it hard. It makes marriage hard. And so the emotions and not my baby, and you can imagine, you know, coming home without a baby, it's hard. It's hard. You know, just the thoughts and then miscarriages continued. And that was really hard too. And I look back and I just go, God, why? Why, Lord? You know, my wife, all she's really wanted is just to be a mom. But I don't understand. I don't understand that. But I know God was with me in that. And he was with us in those times. And I look back and in those moments and I can say that he was still God. He was still good. He was still with me. He was still in control. And he actually never left me or my wife in those moments. And I look back and I say, man, that was hard. That was hard for us, you know, and people have walked through that with flying colors before. And And so there are different tragedies that impact different people in different ways. And my burdens are not your burdens. And you've gone through things that have really shook you to the core. And you didn't think you're going to live through it. And you're still maybe struggling through it. You look back and you're like, man, this, why, God, why? And but that was this for my family. And my wife and I still, you know, we have a little angel on our tree. We've already decorated for Christmas, don't judge me, but we've got our little angel tree and little Charlotte Grace, little angel tree, and we talk about it. She'd be 16 right now. And you know, so there's times that it still hurts. But I look back and I said, man, I don't want that to happen. I didn't want that to happen. But I'm thankful despite that happened. I'm thankful in those moments. And what I want to share with you today are two big things that thankfulness will do for you. And it's this: having a grateful heart in circumstances, it will accomplish two things. One, it will lift your heart from despair. Listen closely. Thankfulness is the balloon that will lift your heart from despair. Secondly, thankfulness is the anchor that will lower your head from pride. One more time. Thankfulness, like a balloon, will lift your heart from despair. And also thankfulness will, like an anchor, lower your head, keep you grounded from pride. Being thankful, you're going to find hope. And you're going to find humility. Number one, thankfulness will lift your heart from despair. I heard about this little story. One evening, a Christian went to visit a little girl in the hospital, and because of a spinal disease, she was confined to a bed. And the Christian sat by her bed, and they both stared out a window, and finally the little girl said, "Do you want to play a game with me?" And the man said, "Well, what kind of game are we going to play?" And the little girl said, "I call it stars. Every evening when the stars come out, I think of all the people I love and all the blessings I have, like my mom and my dad, my dog, my food, and each thing I name each star. It's one of my blessings." And so the visitor, he's like, "Well, this sounds like fun. Let's start." You know, she said, "Well, it is a lot of fun, but there's only one problem, that there aren't enough stars." The truth is that everyone goes through hard days. It's a different kind of pain or difficulty for each person, as I've said. We all sit in the rain at some moment in life. Storms hit everyone. The Bible says it rains on the just and on the unjust, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, or circumstantial. No matter how big the hardship or how long the consequences from it, when hardship comes your way, you have a choice to make. You personally, inwardly, you decide how it will affect you in the long run. You've got person number one. Person number one is the type of person that allows difficulty to drive them. So when, let's imagine this individual, something hard comes their way, and how they respond to that hardship is they let it drive them into solitude and self-pity, anger, bitterness, darkness, all alone. Because they consume themselves with it, they become lost in it. Those things might be the first initial reaction for all of us, but, and that's okay, but it's staying there that's the problem. You know, when these things happen and all of a sudden solitude becomes days, weeks, months, years, and you're marinating in bitterness and anger and confusion, you don't know how to get out of it. Often I've counseled people that are lost in their situation. They're lost in their tragedy. They feel like it's a fog that has blinded them. Very similar to in 1999, John F. Kennedy was flying one of his airplanes. Maybe you remember the story. He's going from New York to his family home in Massachusetts for a wedding, and on board his wife, Carolyn, and her sister, I believe, they were all fine. When they took off, as they flew over the Atlantic coast, they gradually got surrounded by some fog. And though Kennedy was a licensed pilot, he had not been approved in instrument flight. He's only familiar with flying by sight. And as strange as it seems, there is a situation that a pilot can get into, I'm sure you know Patrick can attest, where you will lose all sense of direction, even what's up and what's down. Without a horizon or lights in the distance, the pilot becomes unfamiliar with where he's flying, and oftentimes, or sometimes, they will make a judgment call that's a really bad judgment call, sometimes flying either up or straight down into the ground. And that's what happened. The plane never reached its destination. All three passengers were killed tragically. Now, this situation, the debilitating fog, is kind of how it happens in people's lives. There are people who have become debilitated by their difficulties, and it drives them to despair and detachment. They become a victim of the fog and the bitterness and the anger, and that is one way to respond to trials. But there is also another way. So that's a choice. You can respond that way, or you can let thankfulness let you respond a different way. The Bible gives us helpful medicine, like a soothing balm, for our soul that will calm you and push you back to where you're supposed to be. And that balm is thankfulness. Psalm 42:5 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for yet I shall yet praise him for his help, the help of his countenance." The psalmist, in the midst of despair, said, "Soul, you're going to hope in God." He spoke to himself, or self-talk is okay at certain times in life, right? It's kind of scary when you talk to yourself, but it's only, you're only crazy when you answer yourself, or you answer the questions that you ask yourself. Okay, then you're crazy. But talking to yourself, okay, it can be okay. The psalmist is saying, "Hey, my soul, we're going to find hope in God. No matter what's happening, we're looking to him and we're going to find hope. God's sovereignty, that he's in control, that he's still good, that he's ruling and reigning, and he's aware of my situation. He's with me, never going to leave me, never going to forsake me." It even reminds me of another guy. His name's Adoniram Judson. He's one of the very first missionaries to the place called Burma. Adoniram, he boarded a boat, took his family to this foreign land. The book, if you're ever interested in reading some good biography, I love good biography and autobiography. Why? Because I like finding people that have been through hard times and have found hope. This is one of those. Adoniram Judson. The book's called To the Golden Shore. He's been a man that has been through great tragedies. Okay, he's trying to serve God. His first wife dies in front of him. He's lost like 7 children. Incredible pain. Okay, and you read this in his book and it's devastating. You're like, oh my goodness. But yet you find this man with a countenance that is unparalleled. It's like he's able to see into eternity and realize, you know, what he's got awaiting for him. And this is what he says in his biography. He says, "If it weren't for the sovereignty of God, I would have lost hope long ago." He speaks to his own soul and he says, "Drink up these dregs of difficulty, O my soul." He says, "I have found at the bottom still God's goodness remains." God's goodness. God's in control. You know, my pastor in California, Greg Laurie, back when I was on staff, his son tragically was killed in an automobile accident. Christopher, it was, we were waiting for him to come in and he didn't come in that morning. And so sure enough, he got killed on the 91 freeway heading to work. And it was devastating. You know, Christopher passed away. And yet, you know, our pastor, Pastor Greg, you know, even in those just the tragic just outturn of his 33-year-old son passing, you know, I see a man that and a wife that took it to God. And even that Sunday morning, just a few days later, they came to church and it was incredible to see, but you see him worshiping God. It's like, what are you? This is crazy. You just lost your son. It almost like Job, when Job, you know, fell down and he said, "Naked I came in and naked I'm going to go out, but blessed be the name of the Lord." There's something in the midst of tragedy that you can find if you let thankfulness be the balloon that lifts your heart from despair. God is good. God is in control. I still believe. God's nearness, that he's close. It's the non-believer that has no promises. I can understand the non-believer going through tragedy and then absolutely being devastated by it and they can't get away from it. So they turn to a bottle, they turn to a pill, they turn to some addiction, they turn to some, you know, I'm going to turn to my career, my business, I'm going to work really, really, really hard and that's how I'm going to get through it. I can see a non-believer doing that because they've got no hope. They got no promises. Like, this life is it. And so you got to just manage or go through or kill yourself, right? And that's what I've seen so many times in the world. But the believer, we know there's precious promises that this life is not all there is. The Bible tells us that heaven is a reality more real than earth. We are living in the shadow lands, my friend. There is a real place in eternity where the promises lie, to the golden shore, as Adoniram Judson said. You know that when we pass from this life, we're going into the next. You know, to be absent from this body, we're present with the Lord. And that's where loved ones are. That's where life is. That's where our Savior is. And that is the fulfillment of all of these promises, the nearness of God. We taste His nearness there, but His presence there. And that is a balloon. It's going, God, I know you're with me. And thankfulness starts to flood in. Lord, all the blessings, the things that remain. Then He says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Here's what happens when a heart takes a hold of thankfulness. It magnifies God in the situation. Thanksgiving magnifies the Lord in the same way that a telescope magnifies the stars. From our perspective, when you go out to the night sky, you see the stars. They seem little and tiny and insignificant, little glimmers of light in the night sky. But a telescope reveals that these balls of fire are thousands of times larger than our own planet. They're huge. And so you look through the telescope and it shows them to be what they really are, even though they seem so distant. And in the same way, Thanksgiving allows us to see glimpses of our infinitely amazing God, despite where we're currently at. Thankfulness is the telescope. You look through it and you discover my situation is not what defines my life, because there's more to life than my situation. God's not done with me. He's not finished with your story. There's heaven ahead of us. Don't despair. Don't give up. God is with you. You know, John F. Kennedy would have survived his plane wreck if he would have learned one thing, how to fly with his instruments. You know, they said that, again, he was unqualified to learn the instruments of his aircraft. If he would have learned how to fly by instrument, he would have landed safely, and they would have been able to say, whoo, man, we would have died without learning the gauges, the instruments, because the instruments, despite the fog, give a clear reading of what reality is. And so when you can't see, you look to the instruments and they will guide you in the dark. When it's dark, look to the light. It will guide you. Listen, in the fog of life, we have the Word of God and the truth of God to steer you right. So if your heart isn't feeling right, if your eyes aren't seeing right, get your butt in the book. Read the Bible, be reminded of these truths, and let that be the guide in the dark and in the fog. It will guide you the right way. You will get lost on your own. Don't try it, but fall back. I remember that day that I was sitting in the emergency room when the doctor had to come out and say, you know what, we've got to take the baby. And I'm sitting there and I'm waiting. My wife's in surgery. Psalm 18. I'm reading Psalm 18. And what does it say? It says, as for the Lord, His way is perfect. He is a shield to those who trust in Him. And that's a strange verse to comfort me, but in that moment, that verse was like a flood. It flooded my heart. As for the Lord, His way is perfect. And I sat there weeping in the waiting room. Lord, Your way is perfect. I don't understand. I don't get it. And that was a ballast that kept my boat afloat. It kept me upright. It was the instruments that helped me through the fog, and it helped me so much more. You know, listen, in the face of demoralization, gratitude has the power to energize. In the face of brokenness, gratitude has the power to heal. In the face of despair, gratitude has the power to bring hope. That's point number one. Point number two. Now it gets a little lighter, all right? Point number two. Thankfulness will lower your heart from pride. It'll keep you humble. So not only will it keep you from despair, but it's also going to keep you humble. I heard about a large company that was really just feeling time for a big shakeup, and so they hired a new CEO. This new boss was determined to come in and wipe the slate, to kind of just you know, get the company back where it's supposed to be. They wanted to rid the company of all the slackers and those that were milking the clock. And so he was starting to tour the facilities, and the CEO, he noticed that there was this guy just leaning up against the wall. And so he watched him for a little bit, and he just got really frustrated, a little angry, like, what's this guy doing? He's over there. There he is, milking the clock, right? And so he looked around, and the room is full of workers. Everybody's working, but not this guy. And so he wanted everybody, this new CEO, to know that he meant business. And so he walks up to the guy leaning against the wall, and he says, listen to me, how much money do you make in a week? A little surprised, you know, the young fellow, he kind of looks around. He's like, well, I make about $300 a week. I mean, why does that matter? And the CEO goes, I'm going to fix that right now. He pulls out his wallet. He gets $1,200 cash. And he screams, listen, here's 4 weeks' pay. Now get out there and don't ever come back. So the guy leaves, and the CEO is like feeling really good about himself. Like, you know, people are like, oh man, you know, they're noticing. And then he looks around the room, and with a loud voice, he says, now, does anyone want to tell me what that goof off did around here? And then from across the room, a voice came. He was the pizza delivery guy from Domino's. Oh, okay. Pride, okay, king of the mountain. When life is firing on all eight cylinders and it's going perfect, we're prone to pride. Thankfulness will lower your heart from pride. Even things that go really well have a way of lifting our hearts beyond the state where they're supposed to be. You know, there's a tendency in our hearts and mind to become self-reliant and prideful and arrogant. Pride is a self-inflicted wound. Pride is the only disease that makes everyone sick but the person that has it. You can't be proud and thankful at the same time, because true humility is formed by the crucible of thankfulness. You know, think about it like this. The doorway to God's throne room, it's low arching. If you try to approach his throne high and mighty, you'll reach the other side decapitated. You're not going to get there. The only way that you can approach the throne of God is lowly and humble in spirit. This is what the Bible says about pride. Psalm 138 verse 6 says, the Lord is great and he cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud. James 4:6, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Was it not Satan that got kicked out of heaven because of pride? Yeah. Could it be that God, knowing that you are prone to pride, is prescribing the medicine this morning of thankfulness to keep you away from it? Thankfulness will either root out pride from your life, or pride will silence thankfulness from your heart. Let me say it one more time. Thankfulness will either root out of pride, it'll root it out of your heart, or pride will silence the thankfulness in your heart. Gratitude strikes a big blow against our own greatness. And here's the reality. We have nothing to even be prideful about. Did you know that all of your ability, all of your money, all your possessions, your talent, even your health today, that little heart that's beating in your chest right now with no batteries, you sitting here in your right mind, able to listen to a Bible study, breathing, your health is from God. He gave it to you. He's blessing you with it. You didn't earn it. There's nothing that you've done to make it last longer. It's God. Do you see what great truths this simple constant will cause in your heart? We get prideful because we think we've done something, but really it's been God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:7, what do you have that you've not received? Then why do you boast as if you did it your own? God has given you everything you have, my friends. Having a constant of gratitude in your life, it will, like an anchor, it will stick you to the bottom and hold you steady. where people might try to puff you up, or you get somewhere in life, the business does well, things turn around, and it's like, yeah, here we are. This is where I'm at. This is, and you look around and you feel like you're king of the mountain. I've made it somewhere. But thankfulness will remind you where you came from. That not too long ago, you were crying your tears. Not too long ago, you were at the bottom. Not too long ago, you were devastated. But thankfulness will say, oh man, yeah, I might be here now, but let me tell you, I remember where I was back then. It was only yesterday that I was calling out to God. It was only yesterday that I was calling the Reddit Corp. It was only yesterday that I was in a situation above my head. Thankfulness, it will bless you. It's going to bless you, friends, because it's going to lift you and lower you. What a beautiful holiday we've got before us. In just a few days, you're going to have an opportunity to sit back and be thankful. Thankful. Thankful for what you have. Thankful for what God has done. Thankful for what He's doing. Thankful for His presence, His promises. Thankful for the place that you're in right now. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Don't let the national holiday be the only time that you say thank you to God. Be a good kid and say thank you for the blessings He's given to you. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time. God, Thanksgiving is just a few days away, and what a good time to sit back and just say thank you, Lord. God, thank you for the ways that you've been with us in difficulty. Thank you, God, for the blessings and how you've put us where we're at. I remember that it wasn't always that way. Lord, I pray you would help us be thankful. And so I lift my friends to you, lift this Bible study to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.